Hey, it's Steve and Dave again. We are two guys in a river. I'm Steve Mathewson.
And I'm Dave Getz.
No doubt we all want to catch more fish. I want to, and Dave needs to.
Ooh, that hurts.
But we're all about fly fishing and our love for the outdoors, so let's get after it. One of the most irritating things about fly fishing in the summer, besides mosquito bites and scorching hot days, is the crowd you have to fight. Well, I hope you don't actually fight anybody in the crowd, but you probably know what I mean. Summer temperatures and summer vacations bring out fly fishers en masse to your favorite rivers. So what is a fly fisher to do?
The Lower Madison, the river which is west of Bozeman, is just teeming with people this time of year, and really from here probably till September 1st, right? And on warm summer days, and you've said this many times, but I laugh every time, that one of the most familiar hatches happens during this time, which is not the mayfly hatch green drakes. It's the, what is it?
It's the inner tube hatch.
The inner tube hatch. So what actually happens? Do people, where do they put in?
So there's dozens of people that float down the river.
Or hundreds
on inner tubes. And so they put in at Warm Springs. It's right where the, you know, the bear trap ends. And then they float to Black's Ford. And it's funny, sometimes you'll see coolers, beer coolers, floating down the river beside these people and their dog, and a bunch of inner tubes and maybe a little raft. I mean, it's amazing, but it goes through that prime water. I mean, we've caught some nice fish there.
Yeah, we have. But this is also true where you and I fish in the Driftless, both in Wisconsin and southern Minnesota. And we don't have the inner tube hatch. I don't think we've seen any inner tubes, but partly because the spring creeks are so small. So this is really true wherever you fish.
Yeah, you still see the crowds there, right?
Yeah, so just recently, it was actually in June, I think it was, but I had a day in Madison, had a client I had to see, and I thought, oh my goodness, it was about 2 or 3 o'clock, and I thought, you know what, I should just go west in about an hour, hour and a half, and see if I can hit this favorite stream that Steve and I fish. So I had my gear in the back of my car, and so I headed out there. I got there around 5 o'clock, went to our favorite stream, and there were two trucks parked where we fish on that small stretch. It's not a lot of runs.
No,
there,
there's
right?
not at all.
So certainly not enough for three trucks. Right.
Yep.
So I left and went to this other stream, which is nearby, and same thing, right? And I got out. There was one stretch where I thought, maybe I'll fish here. And I got out, and it was so buggy. And between the crowds and the bugs, I thought, no, I'm not doing this. Yeah. So I got in my car and went basically another half an hour and ate at Bob's Bitchin' Barbecue, and then drove 3.5 hours home.
There you go.
And I didn't fish a bit.
No, that's right. Yeah, I remember you called me that day, and I was gearing up for a big fishing report. Because you always catch a ton of fish when I'm not there. So what does that say about me? Or what does that say about you?
Yeah, that all fly fishers are liars?
Yeah, that's right. Oh, man. But yeah, fly fishing in the summer, it's a challenge because of the crowds. Now, hey, we want to admit, we're part of the crowd, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we're not looking down on anyone or suggesting they shouldn't be there, too. It's just that with more people, including the two of us, on a given summer day, it is more challenging to find a place to fish.
And especially for you and me, I mean, some people don't mind fishing with four other people in the river, and I mind that.
No, I do too.
I don't fish for that. So I want solitude.
Absolutely.
I don't even want anybody in the nearest 10 miles.
Yep.
I know that's silly, but I do not like sharing a stream.
Yeah, no, it's... it's not because we're selfish. It's because we like solitude.
Yeah, it's not because we're selfish.
That sounded a little
better. Selfish.
Yeah, right. Well, okay, maybe it's both. All right, so what can we do? Well, in today's podcast, we want to identify some effective strategies for avoiding the crowds when fly fishing in the summer. Dave, what's the first thing you'd suggest?
So this is so patently obvious.
Like everything else we share.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah, you can get this pretty much anywhere.
Yeah.
So, hey, if you want to avoid the crowds, just simply get there first. So several years ago, Steve and I were fishing in the Driftless, and we arrived at 6:30. So we arrived, gosh, you know, right as the sun was coming up, probably a little bit after. But, and we started breaking out or getting our rods, and we didn't put our waders on because we were wet wading, but we were just heading over, just walking out to the stream from our truck, and up pulls another truck, and it was a guide. So a guide thought that he would get there early with his client, well,
yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he, you could see he was just put out. Like, yeah, how do these guys get here so early?
Yeah.
But we got there early. We got that stretch of river. And it's just kind of this principle. And so if you're someone that doesn't roll out early, you will probably struggle, because once you hit 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, then the rivers start to pack
yeah.
up.
What's that proverb? The early bird gets the, well, not the worm. For us, it has to be the early bird gets the fly.
The early bird gets the best runs.
I think that's it. That's it. Now, here's a second strategy, and it's the corollary to get there first, and it's get there late. There's a little spring creek that we love in the Driftless, and it's often crowded in the morning. In fact, that's the same one we're talking about.
Yeah.
But in the evening towards dusk, it's usually deserted, and man, we've had a handful of good evenings there. I remember one with my son Luke where we were really catching them, just, you know, size 18 parachute atoms. Everything we threw at them, they were rising, and there was nobody else around.
It's amazing that even in the summer, right around, right when it starts to get dusk, or maybe a half hour before people leave, and often that is certainly
yeah.
in the, and you know what this is all, what we're talking about here is we're talking about fishing the edges.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you and I just published a podcast on this, but this is another example of fishing the edges. And in the summertime, fishing the edges means get there really early and get there really late. Were you, I remember you telling me about a time you were fishing Rocky Mountain National Park, and you were fishing into the dark, so much so
yeah.
that you couldn't even see your flies.
Yeah, I know. And I had a parachute Adams on, and once in a while I could catch a glimpse of it, but I would just float it until I heard a plop, or sometimes you could see the splash, and they were coming up. It's crazy.
I remember once I was on a business trip out to Western Colorado. We had a client that was a software company, and they were doing a demo of their software for this bank in Western Colorado. And one of the bank executives, we started chatting while we were there, and he was a big fly fisher, like a real fly fisher. But we were talking about fly fishing. He said, "Hey, why don't you go down to the Colorado?" I don't know what river it was. It wasn't the mm-hmm. Colorado. I forget which river it was. Go down the Colorado. He said, but don't go there till about 8 or 8:30 in the evening. He said, only, you know, you have about an hour and a half. He mm-hmm. said, I wouldn't waste your time going down earlier.
Interesting.
And he said, yeah, the caddis will start to pop and some of the other, you know, some mayflies.
Yeah.
He said, but don't go down there early.
Wow.
And I thought, oh my gosh, he just saved me, you know, just that piece of advice. So
yeah,
we went
no
down.
Kidding.
Yeah.
You might have gotten there early enough that you would have said, nothing going on here, and you would have left before
that's
the
right.
window.
Because the evening rise wouldn't have happened yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, same thing. I have a friend, Duane, who used to fish the Madison River inside Yellowstone National Park in the early evening and right up until dark. And he used to tell me, because he lived in Oregon, and he was visiting there, and he stayed somewhere in West Yellowstone, and he'd drive in the evening, and there's nobody around, and he'd fish, yeah, those caddis hatches, same thing. There's always caddis hatches in the summer, and he did well, and, you know, everybody else, they were eating at restaurants in West Yellowstone or back to their campsite at Madison Campground. So that's really a terrific time to fish. So strategies, one is get there early. A second one is get there late.
Another one is to go, is the word further or farther? When you're going distance, I think it's farther, not further.
Yeah, that's a good question. Here we are, writers, and supposed to be linguists and grammarians.
I think it's farther.
You've been
go
an
farther.
Editor, now we're not sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But so, again, we say this.
Yeah, go further or farther.
Yeah,
either
go
one
further
will work.
Or farther. The point here is, and this is a good example, we have a stream that we love in southeastern Minnesota. And there are times when we get there early and we're the only ones. But if we're driving up, let's say from Chicago, and it's about five and a half hours to get there, And we arrive, and sometimes there's two or three trucks there. And we have stopped, and we decide, okay, let's go ahead and fish. You get up about a mile, and everybody is fishing in that first mile.
Yeah.
And they're staying at one run. So they're locked in. So the point here is simply, yep, there might be two or three trucks. Just start walking. And walk, you know, walk another 200-300 yards past the last fly fisher. And
yeah.
It's amazing. If you have that kind of river, right, sometimes there's only a limited stretch where you can fish. I get that. But if you can walk farther upstream or downstream, do it. Sometimes just going downstream is good because everybody wants to go upstream. And sometimes downstream may be your best bet. Mm-hmm. So anyway, just go farther.
Yeah, you remember we were in Yellowstone a few years ago, and one of the rivers we like to fish, it was late summer, and there were fly fishers for the first 2 miles. I've never seen anything like it I mean, you have to walk. It's a bit of a hike to get back in there. So remember we hiked up a cliff. It looked more difficult, looked more dangerous than it was, and got to that section where there was nobody. But
and actually going back down the cliff more dangerous than going up
harder,
the cliff.
That's
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah, yep. Sliding down, yeah.
Now, you're right. You alluded to this a moment ago. This doesn't work well on rivers that run by a stretch of highway, say like the Gallatin River along 191 south of Bozeman. I mean, if you pull off the road and walk 3/4 of a mile, you're going to come to another pullout.
Yeah.
And I remember that happening to me when I fished a small river near Park City, Utah, a few years ago. I was with a group of 4 other guys, which, by the way, is never a great recipe
for
success.
4 guys. Oh, Lord.
Yes.
That's horrible.
And I decided, okay, I'm going to hike further than anyone. And finally, I came to a nice run, and there was nobody in sight until I walked to the head of the run around the bend. And there were 2 other guys fishing above it, and they were about 50 yards from a big parking lot. So, yeah, if you learn a river, though, I'm sure if I took time to learn that, there's bound to be stretches with longer distances. But, this only works if the river's off the road, maybe a little bit more remote.
So I'm going to say something that's really counterintuitive, but sometimes there will be a stretch of river that is right along a highway that nobody fishes because they perceive that it's a, for whatever reason, people don't fish it because there are people like us that think you have to be back further. So there's kind of this counterintuitive. Sometimes you should stop at that pullout right along the road because there is nobody there. And sometimes that happens, which is just amazing.
So here's a strategy, another one that might seem counterintuitive as well, and that is to wade fish a popular drift boat river. There are some times in the summer when the Yellowstone River in Paradise Valley south of Livingston seems like it's as congested with drift boats as Interstate 5 around LA, or as my son-in-law, who's one of the locals there, they just call it the 5. And man, it seems like the 5, it's just one drift boat after another, and it's almost like bumper cars. You think, man, don't hit each other. And I've fished the Yellowstone on some days like that when I've seen dozens of drift boats, but very few fly fishers are wade fishing. So the thing is, once you establish yourself in a good run, the drift boats will usually give you a wide berth and stay out of your way, that is, out of your run. And I've had a few times when I know that guides wanted to fish the water I was fishing, but they politely kept going. So, even in a busy river, if somebody says, I'd never fished that river, it's busy, you want to find out, is it busy with drift boats or is it busy with waders? Because if it's just drift boats, you can actually stake out some places. And besides, the drift boats, they hit something quick, you know, unless, I know there's a few places in the Yellowstone where those guides, because I've been with them before, will, you go through a run and then, okay, let's back up and fish that again. But most don't do that, especially on a crowded day. So, even if 5 drift boats have fished ahead of you, you know, it's like 5 casts, that's it, and they haven't stirred up the water. So
do you remember when we were fishing with Toby years ago on the upper Madison, And we were drifting, and we had stopped at a run. We had just got back in the boat to wade fish.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that because I think Toby got really frustrated with me because I couldn't cast my rod into the run where we were trying to, you know, so he finally grabbed my rod and said, here, this is how you do it, you know. But that notwithstanding. But we came around this bend, and there was a wade fisher. And remember, he was a tall guy, and he was racing to get to this run.
That's right.
And so he had pulled up. He had water was probably up to his knees. Yeah. And he was running in the river downstream trying to get to this run before we floated by it. I just remember that visual. It was so fun. But yeah, I agree. So wade fish, a busy place where people are drift boating or, you know, fly fishing with drift boats.
Yeah, and something else to keep in mind is that if you go to a fishing access where they're where they're putting in drift boats or taking them out, sometimes the first 200 yards above or below that access are worth fishing, because sometimes fly fishers, I've watched this before, well, and I've done this, they don't start casting for the first 100 yards or so. You know, the guide or the guy, even if it's a bunch of friends, there's a guy trying to get the boat, you know, out there, you know, in this lane where he wants to float it, and so that the other guys are watching, because it's spinning around a little bit. And so, you know, they don't start fishing until 100 yards have gone by or 200 yards have gone by. And the same thing when they're getting ready to take out. I've done that too, is, there's the takeout. And so sometimes you're trying to, you know, even though you've got one guy rowing, you're watching for the right place, so you're getting poised so that you can, jump out and help. So that last 100 yards or so doesn't get fished. So once in a while, I don't want to pretend like, oh yeah, every time I go to a river, I go to a fishing access and walk, 100 yards up and down. But I've done it a couple times. Sometimes you don't catch anything, but I actually did. Not too far from where my parents lived on the Yellowstone, and one day walked down from an access and, caught like three trout. So, yeah, you never know.
I think about the Warm Springs access. We often will walk up. You can fish that first 100 yards up, and there's a couple really nice runs.
Right.
But people that are walking into the wilderness area walk by it because they're going to and we do that often. We're going back a couple miles, right? But I've seen fly fishers fish that first 100 yards and do really well.
Oh, yeah.
And probably catch more fish in that first 100 yards than we catch all day going up 2-3 miles.
Yeah, no kidding. And I think that's happened times when we haven't done as well. Then you get back and it's like, oh, man, this water looks so good. And sure enough, you land a fish.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
So a final strategy is to try a small stream near, like, a popular river. So we all want to fish the big, renowned rivers. But often these streams that feed them and flow into them and empty into them have some great fishing right near the inlet or right near the outlet, right? So if there's a stream that's flowing, usually it's flowing into the rivers, and the crowds will usually be gone. They tend not to fish those.
That's right.
And you were talking about a stream that you had found, like in the Wind River somewhere.
Yeah, in the Wind River in Wyoming, up near Togwoody Pass, had some good fishing there, and one day there was a little stream that fed into it, and I just fished up that, and the trout were smaller, but man, we caught them. Ton of fish, my brother and I did, and there were a few that were as big as the ones we caught in the main river, but there was nobody else fishing. And I've done the same thing on the Yellowstone River in Paradise Valley, south of Livingston, Montana. You and I've done that. We've caught fish out of Pine Creek, we've caught fish out of Mill Creek. I caught fish out of I think it's Deep Creek or Big Creek. I forget which one. Yeah, there's all those creative names. I can't remember them. Yeah, there's been times where, there's so many people on the river. Just go up to one of those little streams, and it's a great break.
Didn't you do that up in Alaska?
Yeah, I did the same thing. I was on the, we were on the Talkeetna, and there were a bunch of people fishing right along the mouth where Clear Creek emptied into the Talkeetna. And I walked up about, 200 yards maybe, and came to a bend, and I just stayed there for a couple hours just catching, 18 to 20 inch rainbow trout that were, there. They were, I was using, I think, a Dalai Lama, big old white streamer. And
yeah, there was anybody to verify the size?
Actually, my brother-in-law. I don't know, is he a liar too? Yeah, but there was nobody up there. Everybody was down on the river. So that really is a great strategy.
Well, and one of the best ways to find some of these is, most of you are probably aware of this app called Trout Routes.
Yeah.
And it's either $49 or $59 a year, but we use it a lot because there's so many streams in the Driftless area. Again, the Driftless is southwestern Wisconsin, southeastern Minnesota, and northeastern Iowa. So there are literally hundreds and hundreds of these spring creeks. And the Trout Route apps will identify them, shows you where you can put in.
Yeah.
And, if mm-hmm. there's access, of course, in Wisconsin and Minnesota especially, a lot of farmers allow access to these streams,
yeah. mm-hmm.
which is one of the great things about fishing the Driftless region is there typically is pretty good access.
Yep.
Occasionally, you'll see a stream in which there's a no trespassing sign, but mm-hmm. there's a lot of great access. And the Trout Routes app is really helpful for that. But it's also mm-hmm. true wherever you live, if there's like these big rivers and see, what are the feeder streams? And some of those feeder streams have some really good trout, especially in the inlet where they're mm-hmm. coming into the river. So fish up a couple hundred yards from there.
Yeah. Boy, I can't say enough about the Trout Routes app. It really has helped us. Now, I should admit, I don't have it. Do you know why that is, Dave?
No, why don't you tell our audience?
Yes, because you have it, and you paid the $49.95 a year, and so... Hey, Dave, how about that Trout Routes app that you have? Take a look at that.
Oh, gosh, that's fun. Yeah,
oh, man.
That's true. So Dave does have it. So
yeah.
That means you'll have to stay fishing with me, not find any other fly fishing buddies in the future.
Yeah, that's right. Well, when they see how I fish, they don't want to fish with me. All right, those are some strategies for fly fishing in the summer when the crowds swell. You may not have the time or opportunity to fish the edges of the season, but with a little creativity and work, you can still find some fantastic fly fishing, even when the river gets crowded. Just don't hook someone or their cooler if you encounter an inner tube hatch. All right, that's all for today. Thanks again for listening. I'm Steve Mathewson.
I'm Dave Getz.
Until next time, we are two guys in a river.
For the love of fly fishing.